So you just have to make your mind up, me and my house. You know, me and my house, we're serving God. And I'm not moved by much.
Are you moved by anything?
Yes, I am, in the right direction. What did Jesus say? I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the true vine, you're the branches. Father's the husbandman. Isn't it interesting he said true vine? Why would he say true vine? Let's say it was a vine that wasn't true.
You mean there's another?
Oh, there's a lot of... He's the true vine. And through that new life that we'll receive from him, being in the vine, us being the branches, we'll bear much fruit. Why? Because we're drawing our life from him. It's funny when he concluded what kind of fruit he was talking about. He said that you bear much fruit, that you love one another, that you love one another, bear much fruit. It's funny how heaven looks at things. Heaven seems to think that you're really maturing when you go to the place where you have a capacity to forgive all, your brother all their trespasses. What was that second commandment that was likened to the first? Love the Lord God was the first, and the second is likened to the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, God seems to think that you're really an achiever if you can attain to the real love of God. But Jesus said, my glory I give unto you.
Well, what does this glory work by? What causes it?
Isn't it funny? When Jesus did the greatest miracles, the thing that it said that he was moved by, was what? Compassion? I wouldn't fight the love walk if I was you. You can go so far carrying God's anointing, and usually a man will be overturned or he'll destruct and something will happen. What ensures longevity and to finish your course and to have the lamp of the righteous burn brighter and brighter is to find out who he is as your father. Find out what kind of compassion that was that it moved Jesus. My glory, Jesus said, I give unto you. Well, what we get when we got his glory, we got the standing he had with the Father. It behooved you to understand what moved him. What moved him? Compassion? What is compassion? A fruit of agape? What is agape? A fruit of the Spirit? So when agape is in manifestation, it shows up or manifests itself in compassion. If you get to the place where you're walking there, and you're going to see some of the greatest things you've ever seen in your whole life. In fact, go to Psalms 91 for a moment as we get ready to worship here for a little bit. Psalms 91. Isn't this interesting? He said, 91 and 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, and I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Isn't this interesting? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, well, where is that? He said it was in the shadow of the Almighty. What shadow was he talking about exactly? For me to abide in the shadow of the Almighty, what shadow was he talking about? He said the law was a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In other words, the thing making the shadow is the body of Christ. Here, for David, he that abides in the secret place of the Most High is abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. But what did he say about you? You know, what did he say about you? When Moses said, I will see God, he picked him up and put him in a cleft of the rock, which rock you come to understand is Jesus. Under the shadow, that rock was a type of Jesus. But when you said, I will see God in this dispensation, God didn't pick you up and put you in the shadow of the type. He picked you up and put you into Christ Himself. And you were born again. When God passed by Moses, He could do everything. He had to overshadow him and pass by. Had to cover him with His hand. He could do everything but step in. And not you. When you said, I'll see God, He put you into Christ. You were born again. God didn't pass by you. He stopped and stepped in. This secret place of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Almighty. What shadow? What shadow? Even in John 17, that great prayer that Jesus prayed for you and I, He said, I in them, them in me, and us in you. A great prayer, but we're in the Father and He's in us, and we're in Christ and He's in us. I'm not abiding in His shadow anymore. I've stepped in. I've stepped in. I in Him, He's in me, and us in them. I'm not under your shadow anymore. I have stepped into Him. And so have you. What this gives you that they couldn't have is a nature like His nature. I've been made a partaker of His divine nature. Old Testament saints could abide in the shadow. This prophecy about Jesus. They could abide in the shadow, but the one thing they had to pull up short, just short of, is God's fellowship with them was limited. It's not that He didn't love them. He did. But He had to atone for them with animal blood. He had to restrain them with law. And their fellowship was limited, not me. Not you, because He changed your nature to be like His in the first big step in the adoption process was made when He gave you a nature like His. And now, you've been restored to the degree that you can have the kind of fellowship with Him that He waited for 4,000 years when the man Jesus appeared and talked to the Samaritan woman about a Father that's seeking and looking for people who can give Him the fellowship He waited for a long, long time. Well, you're in that dispensation. And all creation, He says, was subject to corruption by reason of Him that subjected the same in hope. And He went on to say in verse 22 that creation will be delivered into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And not only they, but us who had this first fruit, this new nature. He said, we're groaning in that new nature to be delivered from these bodies at the redemption of our bodies and get a glorified body. Yet in the first stages, you've received a nature that's put you back into fellowship with Him that you indeed can give Him what the Old Testament saints couldn't. And this is the capacity that it gives you. This, it gives you a capacity to love Him and other people with a capacity that passes anything the Old Testament saints could have. Not the phileo, but the agape that has the potential and capacity for compassion. Let me show you a benefit of developing his love. Go on down to the 14th verse. Ninety-one and 14. Now this is me. Because he, that's me. He is me. Because he has set his love upon me, that's God. I'm the first he. Because he, that's me, has set his love upon me. Me is God. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. How do I set my love on him? Because these are prophecies about Jesus. How do I set my love on the Father? Well, in our dispensation, this dispensation of the new nature, I've got a capacity to love him in such a way that he craved this and waited for this. Something the Old Testament saints couldn't quite give him. The Father having to pull up just short of the unregenerated nature and shed more animal blood year after year after year until Abraham's bosom, if you'll allow me, justification, I accounted righteousness, was full, waiting for the firstborn to be born from the dead. I mean, how many millions of years could he tuck people away in Abraham's bosom? How long could he atone with animal blood? Then put them away, waiting for the firstborn to raise from the dead, so our predestination to be conformed to his image could be fulfilled. Had I been born 2,500 years ago, I would have had to wait 500 years for the firstborn to be born so I could conform to the image I was predestinated to. Not only in my spirit, but also in my body at that appointed day. He couldn't just keep filling Abraham's bosom up. Old Testament type of heaven. He couldn't just keep filling it millennial after millennial. Someday there had to come a day when he finished the work and brought him on home. You happen to live in a dispensation where you're standing on top of the ground when he finished that work in your spirit. Yet that doesn't exclude the fact you have something to give him that they couldn't. A fellowship on a level that they could only dream of. That you have a capacity to love him. To love him. With the Spirit that was literally born of him. As the Father had life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself. Then that same life ended up in you when you were quickened together with him. Does it change the fact that you belong to his family? You are his sons and daughters. Therefore, there is a capacity for fellowship with him that he has sought for one well of a long time. Old Testament saints couldn't give it to him. Now they're giving it to him. Then we were born again. We could offer him that. Even though we have a body that was given to us by the first Adam and resist most of what we do. Yet it doesn't have the power to win. I like it when his power is quickened in me. My old body has to bow down and come under subjection and like it. I don't leave it any choice. One day, not only will I glorify him in my body, but I will have a glorified body. But meanwhile, it's such a privilege to begin to fellowship with him and give him what he desires a long time before I step out of this body and the redemption work is finished. Because I set my love upon him, he will deliver me in the time of trouble. I don't wait for the trouble. I set my love on him a long time before trouble shows up. In fact, I am in a flow of private worship, ministering with him and to him, setting my love on him a long time before anything goes haywire. For me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Some of them thought they wouldn't, but they're not the winners here. See, I happen to believe all things are possible because he's in my corner.
You don't know what they did to me.
Doesn't matter, it's just the middle. I don't live at nothing but the end. Neither do my emotions. Peace will take you to the end and sustain you while the middle takes place.
What, would you give me a suggestion?
Yes, I would. I would say that you should set your love on him. And he will deliver you. Trust me. Times of trouble that come from the most unexpected sources, doesn't it? But you've learned to trust him. You set your face on him, haven't you? Whew. What do you think? You think a guy ought to break into private worship or something? What do you think? The other day he said something else to me. I'd just been talking to men to gather testimonies for the book on worship. Not for just the great victories, but what they faced entering in. The opposition. Bronk told me I reached degrees of peace that I didn't think there's any more through fasting. Well, what fasting does is drives the flesh down below the level that you're operating in your spirit. Because the bounds are take off, things begin to happen then that you've been believing for and things. Because you've unsealed your flesh through driving it down through fasting and prayer. Worship, that affects your spirit directly through the new nature that's in it. As God begins to magnify himself in you, the reservoir, the capacity you have to pool and to hold God's love begins to increase. When this happens, then all permanency in your walk takes place as a result of your spirit. All permanency. Brother Coker noticed some things changed. After 50 hours of private worship, Jesus stepped into the room and gave him a big old hug. When it was over, it took him 30 minutes to tell his staff because he kept breaking down and bawling. Does that sound familiar? He's bawling and weeping, and then when it subsided in the next day or so, he noticed there was a stillness and something had changed. And I said, well, God, he told me to tell you something when I called you. Here it is. Sometimes we have problems that can only be taken care of as you go from glory to glory in his presence, being conformed to his image. There's some problems that operate in our life that entail your spirit is brought at least to a level of the problems. Not much happens in them. Things die, prayer lines, and nothing works hardly. But I said, he told me to tell you this. I said, that you're going to enter into new realms of health. said, because some of the problems God just solved for you through worship. Some of the roots and strongholds He just destroyed for you. You can carry real bad hurts and roots and things like that for quite some time. Your body is tough. It is a tough. People abuse it and drug it and treat it and overtax it day after day and still last 30 or 40 years. That unforgiveness and hatreds and malices and different things that is in a person, way down in them, that they don't ever hardly let surface. This is why cigarettes, smoking is so addictive. It's not the physical addiction you have problems with. That's gone in 4 or 5 days. It's because it's such a drug that causes such a... It'll send those kind of problems back where they came from so you can go ahead and function. But nicotine is a drug that puts you back into that rest, that peace in the natural man. When my David would blow up the worst, tell everybody off and rant and rave, he'd have to go smoke a whole pack almost to calm himself down. It's a sedative. It's real hard to break, but it's not hard when you start destroying the roots that have to stay sedated. But your body's tougher than brass. Boy, it can take a lot. If you had that cancer of unforgiveness and hatreds and malices and those things in you, they usually start showing up sometime after 50. All kinds of health problems and things. Now, that's not the only reason for sickness. Our children wouldn't be sick. Some is a blatant attack of the devil. There's many, many reasons. I'm just naming one of them. Usually these things show up more near the end of your life from carrying them and carrying them and carrying them. Well, there's some things in my body that came online after the worship limb. I didn't know what to think of it. I thought, well, my faith has kicked in or something. It wasn't just my faith. Was my fellowship with Him reached a place in receiving His love and compassion, just the peace and the rest of that has an incredible effect on your body. Incredible. Well, I said, Brother Coker, you're going to come to a new state of health. He says, you know, I'm 50 something now. And he says, there's just things, it's just starting to go wrong. But he says, even my relationship with my wife was messed up. But after that, after he came on me and made an adjustment inside, I know that I was intimidation. That was even showing up in my marriage and things. He said, but there's a stillness and a peace that's gone now. See, he that sets his love, you make the decision to set it on Him. He'll deliver you in a time of trouble. It's worth praying in tongues for 2 or 3 hours and spending that last one just to get that old soul used to telling Him how much you love Him in a language you can articulate, like, I love you. You won't do that very long that you'll notice He'll start coming and staying longer and filling your room. I can't say that you're not going to face hell. Boy, Brother Coker said, I was plotting and scheming against people how to take revenge. And he said, I wasn't even like that in the world. This is after 40 hours of worship, you know. It's not all a picnic. But one thing for sure, when the devil cannot, no matter what he pulls on you, nor your emotion, nor your strongholds, get you to abort a suspending of your spirit in fellowship with the Father and adoration. If it can't get you to stop, he's going to get the other stuff to stop. Maybe you ought to look down and read that verse again. What do you think? Maybe you should read it again. Read it again. 14th verse, Psalms 91. Hallelujah. Whew. They dwelled in the secret place of the Most High. They were in His shadow. You're fastening yourself on Him. Not only on Him, but you're in Him. You've been born again. Remember the parable? Certain teaching of the prodigal son? How many remembers when we broke that? It's not about the younger son, it's actually about the older. We call him prodigal. 5 minutes after he restored relationship, and what is relationship? Two relatives in the same ship, not because they necessarily want to be. Relationship. Two fellows in the same boat put in there by the same DNA. So I've been born again. I'm his son. I am into relationship. We're in the same boat now. But fellowship. It's when you've thrown yourself into the same boat because you want to be in the same ship. So the younger son ran out and broke relationship, came back, restored relationship, and 5 minutes after restored relationship, he restored fellowship. The elder brother, who always had relationship, never broke relationship, but never had any fellowship. Never. So he's listening to the celebration. The servants coming. Your father wants you to come in the celebration. No. So the father went out after him.
You killed a fattened calf and spent your living in riotous harlots. You never killed a fattened calf for me.
Boy. Man.
I've never transgressed one of your commandments.
He said, son, all I've had, all I've ever had has been yours. It's been yours the whole time. And this is what he was saying, that your problem is you've always had relationship, but you never had fellowship, son. You didn't even know me good enough to know all I've ever had is yours every single day. Because you based the relationship with me on your works. But your younger brother has based it on the grace that has made him my son. When you base it on the grace that's made you his son, you're going to crawl up in his lap and set your love upon him and begin to give him your adoration. Why? Because you can get something? No, it's all been given to you because you have fallen in love with him. When I first started the worship, in this private worship limb, and I was back there locked up and about took a couple of days and went into weeks. And finally, he said, what do you do about this? And I said, well, he said, you know you can't go in here and worship him like this. That he's not going to give you things. Well, I feel like, you know, I'm kind of in there worshiping him because he'll give me things like that. Oh, God, am I going to get this and get this and get this? And so I'm thinking I'm in there worshiping him because I know I'm going to get it. And finally, my head was going, what are you doing? And finally, I said, shut up. Shut up. Okay. I know I'm going to get things because I'm worshiping you. But that's not the reason I'm in here. I don't care what I feel like. I'm not in here for that reason. So shut up, devil. And that ended it. You don't know what I went through. We'll write a book on it. Another one. Whew. I said, no, I'm in here because I love you. The devil and my flesh and everything's telling me, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. Woo, this is going to come, this is going to come. Just shut up. The only reason I'm in here is because I love him. Hallelujah. Tosoke, that's it. It's me. I don't have to be drunk on wine where it's excess. You think I need alcohol to cope with? Think I need to sedate my senses to make it through a horrible day that has seized upon my poor little person? I used to be a chain smoker. I just had trouble lighting them. I don't need alcohol. What did he say? Here's your alternative. Be you drunk on the Spirit. What? What part of an alcoholic does alcohol affect? His senses, definitely. If an alcoholic's really an alcoholic, you don't know him unless he's drunk. If he gets sober, you say, who are you? Where'd you come from? I don't need it. Why? So I could be drunk in the Spirit. How? Ministering to myself. Ministering to who? Who? I'm setting my love on him. Ministering to who? 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 Myself. In what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in my heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's going to happen when I keep worshiping and worshiping him? What happens to a drunk man? He gets drunk enough pretty soon. He thinks, "Woo, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to make it." And he does. You know, Vietnam vets. It's in the alleys. They'd say, sir, you got a dollar for a sandwich? I'd say, ha, ha, ha. Wish Bill was here to do that. Society laugh. Sir, if you can't give me a dollar, I got to have something to eat. I know that you're going to buy wine with it. He said, okay, you got me. He said, I've seen kids blown up in front of me. He said, if I can't drink, I'm just going to kill myself. He has to sedate himself, see. But when you're worshiping God and suspending your spirit in fellowship with him, it definitely has an effect on your senses. Definitely a submersion of your senses by his presence will begin to take place.
Well, how does it affect me?
It affects you just the opposite. What looked impossible to you in the natural is now going to be moved on your senses by his Spirit. And as the days go by, you're going to begin thinking, why did I think this was so impossible? Because before, you had not set your love upon him, and it was hard for him to deliver you in a time of trouble. I was talking to a person whose foundation of their life has changed because of the revelation gift. I know a lot of people has tackled worship without the revelation gift. Worship is not a revelation gift. Praying in tongues is a revelation gift. That's why I've seen people who could cause a presence to come and see a presence, but believe things that were not entirely true about God. God will almost use anything. He loves people so much, he'd use all reserves at hand to do things for them. If he can't do them, you rest assured, it's not because he did not want to. One day his anointing was riding on a donkey.
It had another name for it, but it isn't exactly accepted in our culture. He's riding on a donkey. Everybody's waving palm branches. The donkey turned around and said, "Oh my, aren't I something? Boy, the anointing's really riding on me. Look at them, they're waving those branches at me. I think I'm going to start a church of the firstborn burrow." You got to remember, you know, when it comes to the supernatural, you really are, you mean, just the donkey that he rode in on. Without him, you can do nothing. So don't go starting. Praying in tongues is a revelation gift. And my friend was setting his foundation. So he's been getting excited over the worship limb lately. He wants to set his love on God. So he says, "How do I do that and maintain? Because I just really sponged in this hungry to understand the mysteries of God. I just can't stop praying them out, hour after hour in tongues. I just have to know." So I taught him how to divide it up. When you tackle worship, it can be seasonal, divide it up. The time you allotted yourself for prayer, divide it up. If it's 4 hours, do three in tongues and use that last one to learn how to worship Him. Or divide it up half and half and set a month to do that. Then you can go back to your 4 hours of the tongues then. You know, there's a way to divide these things up because each of them do something incredible in your life. That when you implement the different limbs, they were designed to transform you to His image. And they are the fastest path there. So when the Holy Spirit, when God slew me under the power and says, "You don't know anything about worship." Well, I thought I did. I thought, you know, I was a rather expert. Kind of shocking to have God lay you on the floor and say, "You don't know anything about worship, really?" And ended up in the instruction to order me in so many hours a day. Now I understand God's logic. Because when I hit the fight and the dry spells, I wouldn't quit because I had a word from God. It got so dry when I'd breathe. Powder puffs. It's the only reason I survived it. It's because He ordered me in. And after the first 4 or 5 days of dry spells, I said, "I got a sneaky suspicion that this is destroying things of the flesh. It's destroying things of resistance. That just have to stay in. Just have to stay in." And did. Well, worship seems to reach very, very deep into your mortification. I understand why God put it on as one of the more last limbs for me. It's because I wouldn't have understood it in the light I understand it in now had I not had the groundwork leading up to the revelation of private worship. In other words, you can't put a ceiling until you have the walls up. I'd have probably wrote a book like everybody else's. That you're not really in the Spirit, for He seeketh such to worship Him in spirit. You're not really in spirit until He comes. You worshipped Him all day and was dry. You didn't break through. You just didn't break through. You didn't really get in the Spirit. So, you know, this is not by works. You really got to get in the Spirit. And everybody would have just aborted. But I stayed in and stayed in because I was ordered in until I understood all that. And then I could bring it back to you. Well, when He taught me how to enter in, He taught me by going in, getting my mind and bringing it back. Now, if you've got 1 hour to worship, you need to get your mind and keep bringing it back and telling it. You're not going to wander around while I'm protocol in the presence of my King. You're not going to wander around mind and not do him service while I'm just speaking these words, I love you, I love you. But if you've got more time than that, I went and brought my mind back and I broke through quicker. But even if your mind wanders and you keep saying it, keep saying how you love him, even though your mind is solving a problem, don't use your mind wandering around as a reason to stop. If you really can't pull it back, then just let it wander. You keep saying how much you love him, pretty soon you're going to start hearing what you say, and that's going to begin to pull you in. I'm just telling you what he taught me. So myself, I went and got my mind, and even at that, I would look over and noticed I had been 30 minutes wandering around in my mind. But I never stopped telling him how much I loved him. Well, between me bringing it back and wearing it down, it wasn't real long that he began to come and come longer and longer. And when he was there the strongest, my mind gave me no trouble. It was in the river. It wanted more. In fact, if he started to leave, I'd say, come back. Don't give up. You'll find that you can be in the midst of chaos, somebody dying, in the anesthetic, clinical, hospital room, and their distraction isn't enough. It isn't a special move of God or a special grace. It's your fellowship with him. Their distraction's not enough. You can lift your hands. He'll come, and he's ready to do anything because you gave him an avenue to come in on. You're not part of the chaos. Part of the answer. So why'd you tell us this? Because I want you to worship him. Privately, but publicly, but privately.
Do I have to yell?
Mm-mm.
Do I have to whisper?
Mm-mm.
Do I have to talk it out loud?
Mm-mm. Sometimes I whisper and worship, save my vocal cords. I said, I love you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Do you know what I found out? Just like praying in tongues under my breath. I don't want to go check it. Somehow, he heard me. If I suspect the devil's around, I'll talk loud enough for him to hear for sure. Can you hear me, old crafty one? I said I love him. This laugh is for you. Ha, 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 ha. You don't even want much of a laugh. Is it loud? Is it quiet? Mm-mm. It's intent. It's intent. What are you doing? Huh? Are you pouring yourself out in adoration? It's intention. What are you doing? If I'm whispering or shouting, it doesn't matter to me. It's what I'm pouring out in his presence. Mohosikalasachi. Are you comfortable? Well, why don't you stand for a minute and then sit down any time after I launch you into this. Is anybody having a good time? How many's going to worship God a little more than you used to? I am not surprised. I drop the great theological exposés of great exegesic masterpieces to convince him I loved him. Yes, you are the great celestial go-between the troubled waters of mankind and the omnipotent God. On the day I first beheld you. And you end up, oh, I love you and worship you. I magnify you and glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you hit a vein where he jumps, where you feel him jump in you and feel his presence come, stay in that vein. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 glory. There's really not a lot of thinking to it. You don't have to think after a while. Glory be to God. I didn't like stumbling over new words anyway. I liked hallelujah, hallelujah, I love you and glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you know, you don't have to be very loud. Although we're in public, it can be private. You don't have to be very loud. But why don't we spend 5 to 10 minutes just closing our eyes? You can be seated any time after we begin and get comfortable. Get ready to spend some time. It's good to practice the worship. Your mind wants to wander off. Practice bringing it back. And after 10 minutes, I'll show you what will have happened when we do a worship song together then. Are you ready? I'm going to lead you for 3 or 4 minutes, then I'm going to cut you loose. You carry your own momentum. Are you ready? Let's do it. You can accompany this one with some soft music. You're not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth will pass, but your word abides forever. I have what I say. Therefore, I call myself dead, that I might be able to separate to you all the glory, all the praise and the honor. I worship you and glorify you and magnify you. The dead are raised, the lame walk, the blind see. Dumb hear, speak, deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. How I love you and glorify you and worship you and magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In all this worship, I get some kind of blessing out of thinking it. But people, you have to say it. You have to say it. You can't just think it. I worship you and glorify you. You have to say it. You can say it quietly, but you have to say it. Mohuske. Your whole man has to form the words and say it. I love you and glorify you. I worship you and magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like to stand here and tell you 10,000 times I've fallen in love with you. I worship you and glorify you and magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you for loving me so much. For loving me so much that you made every provision. Lord, I praise you and glorify you for loving me. When I was in sin, you fixed everything. I love you and glorify you and loving me so much, for loving me so much, for loving me so, so much. You provided everything for me. I don't question whether I have it or not. That I worship you and glorify you and praise you and magnify you and exalt you and worship you because you provided it. It's no question whether I have it. You provided it, I have it. And I worship you for providing it. How can I say thanks? I glorify you and magnify you and exalt you and extol you, lift you to the high heavens. I fasten my love on you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 I glorify you. I magnify you. I exalt you. I glorify you and praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Don't let that mind wander around about you get. Practice worship. Doctors practice. you might as well. Hallelujah. Did you know you can practice His presence even? Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship You and glorify You. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ooh, I have fallen in love with You. I praise You and worship You and magnify You. Jesus, my provider. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love You and glorify You and magnify You. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I magnify You and glorify You. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How I praise You. I don't want anything. I'm not asking You for anything. I just want to tell You how much I love You and adore You and glorify You, exalt You and lift You up. Hallelujah. 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 How I glorify You and worship You and magnify You in the courts. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. High and lifted up. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, you don't know the world is waiting for you out there. My God. Set yourself. Set your love. Anchor it. Set it. Set it on Him. Set it on Him in times of trouble. Set it on Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything in me. I magnify You. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, what's this worship? Finding Your fountain, Your well? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I said. Glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I glorify You and praise You. Magnify You. Hallelujah. I worship You and magnify You and glorify You. I want to thank You. I love You. I love You. I love You. I love You. Oh, when He first told me, I'll show you if you'll go home and worship Me all night, what causes Me to come. So I said it in my spirit that I didn't know much about worship. But I thought to myself, I'm going to use one phrase. I love You. I love You, Father, once in a while. I love You, I love You, I love You, Father. And I was going to empty myself into that one phrase all night long. I said, I love You. Vain repetition is what the heathen does. What you do is minister to yourselves. So I made my mind up when I did that, and I didn't do it for a year. I failed. But I made my mind up when I did. I was just going to use a simple phrase. I love You. I love You. I love You. But whatever it took to pour all of myself into that statement, that was the fight I was going to fight. I love You. I love You. I love You. I love You. I love You, Father. Then I'd collect myself. I love You.
I love you, I love you, I love you, Father. Do not collect myself. You'll be staggered with the results. Sometimes you won't particularly come that night. But somebody will say, will you pray for me? And you'll step up and get ready to pray, and my God, He'll shock you. He'll shock you with His presence. Just because payday don't come when you're locked up, believe me, you're going to have a payday. I said, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Father. I love you. 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 Father. I love you. I love you. I love you, Father. I love you. Father. I love you. I love you. I love you, Father. I love you. 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 I love you, Father. Don't mind the person next to you. They won't be holding your hand in the day of reward. They won't be there. God said it again. Neither will your wife or your husband. Rewards aren't handed out to family units. He says everyone has his own. Worship you. I love you, Jesus. Having everything perfect is a plus. It is not a necessity. I worship you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I know it. I love you. 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 Jesus. I love you. 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 I love you, Father. The heathen found out that vain repetition would work. It would get him absolutely possessed. It was called chanting. Absolute possession. As they give their spirit over to the dark side. Chanting and receiving it. Submitting their emotions and their senses hour after hour. It's vain repetition. It wasn't to dispersuade you against statements of adoration over and over. If there was a vain repetition, then you can know also there is a ministering to your own soul and a subjection of your senses and everything about you to the love and adoration of God. There is a true. I want you to notice the difference now. That you don't have to stop in your worship with Him. But if you want to worship in this song, start thanking Him. Yes, I love you. Then give yourself to any kind of worship right now. But now watch. Watch what happens to the corporate anointing now. Watch.
For some things belong to me, and those things in which I say to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind, your soul and your strength. To love me, saith the Lord, is the first and the great commandment. To be about your Father's business and to deal with anything in you
that's opposed. Come, come, learn of me and take my yoke. My burden's easy, it's easy. My yoke is easy, it's light. Learn of me, deal with those things, and you'll find out that my peace is strong. It's not as this world gives, that this peace will sustain you. Against any attack of the enemy, you can stand in the shoes that are shod with this gospel of peace. Stand, stand face to face with your enemy and know that you have won, saith the Lord to Machiav.